WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with things they said you could never have seen coming. 9/11, the financial crisis, the Japanese nuclear plant being overwhelmed by a tsunami. But whenever they say no one could have predicted it, start asking questions. It turned out there was that August 2001 presidential daily brief, al-Qaeda determined to attack inside the U.S., and a history of preparing to use planes as missiles. It turned out some on Wall Street predicted the housing and derivative bubble and were systematically ignored. And now the New York Times and Wall Street Journal report there were warnings about vulnerabilities at the Fukushima reactors that were ignored or even covered up before the flood. Let's get a take on some of that with Robert Alvarez. He's a senior scholar for the Institute for Policy Studies, the liberal think tank. Mr. Alvarez, thank you so much for coming on with us. Hello.
Thank you for having me and your show.
I want to read some of what was in the Times on Tuesday and in the Journal yesterday and get your take as familiar with these issues on some of the particulars here. Front page article in the Times on Tuesday, Japan extended reactors' life despite warning. And it says, just a month before a powerful earthquake and tsunami crippled the Fukushima Daiichi plant, government regulators approved a 10-year extension for the oldest of the six reactors, despite warnings about its safety. The regulatory committee reviewing extensions pointed to stress cracks in the backup diesel-powered generators at reactor number one at Daiichi, according to a summary of its deliberations that was posted on the website of Japan's nuclear regulatory agencies. The cracks made the engines vulnerable to corrosion from seawater and rainwater. The generators are thought to have been knocked out by the tsunami, shutting down the reactor's vital cooling system. It goes on. Several weeks after the extension was granted, the company admitted that it had failed to inspect 33 pieces of equipment related to the cooling systems, including water pumps and diesel generators at the power station's six reactors, according to findings published on the agency's website shortly before the earthquake. What did you think when you read that article?
Well, I thought that we have a similar situation going on at our nuclear power plants in the United States, that we've had a hollowing out of the post-Three Mile Island accident regulatory reforms that were put in place in the early 1980s, and this regulatory regime has been effectively rolled back and gutted over the last 15 years by the Congress, the nuclear industry lobby, and the large amounts of money they're throwing around into election pots.
Well, let's stay with Japan for the moment. Obviously, the implication for the United States is important. This Times article continues, Mitsuhiko Tanaka, an engineer who worked on the design of the reactors at Fukushima, said the reactors there were outdated, particularly their small suppression chambers, which increased the risk that pressure would build up within the reactor, a fault eliminated in newer reactors. Since the tsunami, officials at Fukushima Daiichi have tried to relieve rising pressure inside the reactors, several times resorting to releasing radioactive steam into the atmosphere, a measure that in turn has contributed to the contamination of food in the area. But Mr. Tanaka said it was about time the reactor was replaced. The tsunami would have caused great damage regardless, but the pipes, the machinery, the computers, the entire reactors, they are just old, and that did not help. And then the Wall Street Journal yesterday, front page article, Japan ignored warning of nuclear vulnerability. And it says, Japanese regulators discussed in recent months the use of new cooling technologies at nuclear plants that could have lessened or prevented the disaster that struck this month when a tsunami wiped out the electricity at the stricken plant. It says the plant at the heart of the crisis relied mainly on electrical systems to power the emergency cooling of its reactors, a design that failed in the March 11th earthquake. When the main power plant went down and backup generators failed, cooling water couldn't get to the nuclear fuel. Overheating then led to explosions, fires, and significant release of radiation. Isolation condensers, by contrast, don't require electric power. And it adds, Japanese officials declined to say why retrofitting older plants wasn't discussed. While the plant's operator, Tokyo Electric, said it would look into the matter, experts said doing so was likely deemed too costly and cumbersome, given what was seen as a small risk of total power outage. So here we have articles citing different sources, different circumstances, different details about these plants in Japan in the Times and the Journal, saying there were specific warnings, specific understandings that they could have been doing things better, but to save money, the warnings were ignored.
Well, I mean, I think that, what you have here is the real conflict between especially these older reactors that have designs that are 40 plus years old that have been running a lot for quite a long time and have been suffering from age and deterioration and also had inherent design flaws, and the owners are basically, you know, what these articles clearly show is the owners were essentially cutting corners and effectively ignoring these warnings to the tragic detriment of the Japanese people.
Now, here's maybe the worst part from the Times article. Nuclear regulators effectively sat on the information about cracks in the shrouds, said the governor of Fukushima prefecture at the time and an opponent of nuclear power, Isaku Sato. He said the prefecture itself and the communities hosting the nuclear plants did not learn about the cracks until regulators publicized them in 2002, more than 2 years after a whistleblower reported the cracks. So you have the Regulatory Commission, which is reported here to be too in bed with the power company, actually helping them cover up information.
Well, I mean, what you see here and what you see in this country is what I call a dance of codependence between the nuclear safety regulators and the entities they're supposed to be regulating, and the regulator, look, it's no different than the Securities Exchange Commission, Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and the financial services industry before the economic collapse. These programs, these nuclear reactor safety programs, regulatory programs in Japan and the United States and elsewhere, have been hollowed out in order to, or deregulated, if you want to use that word, to the point where now we are paying the consequences.
So what do you think needs to change in this country? And the countries are not exactly the same. Obviously, there's influence of the nuclear industry in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the federal government. One of these articles describes a kind of unique Japanese particular reluctance of the government to act as a strong regulator, and that it was kind of a situation that doesn't necessarily reflect what's going on in the United States. Where do you think the balance of power is here?
I think countries with major nuclear programs or nuclear ambitions look to the United States as the gold standard for nuclear safety and regulation of nuclear power plants. And I would beg to disagree with you about the excuse that the Japanese culture is such that these issues should not be brought up because shame and disgrace are very taken very seriously and are grave offenses in a society. I think that bureaucracies share that same cultural mindset as the Japanese culture. And that, as Admiral Hyman Rickover once said, is that your mother and father will never forgive you. But your mother and father may forgive you, but the bureaucracy never will if you cross them. And this is the same kind of mentality we have going on in the United States and Japan and elsewhere. We also have a system where it's the inherent commonalities here between the Japanese nuclear industry, the French, British, Russian, American nuclear industries is that they operate under conditions of privilege, isolation, and secrecy, and mostly talk to themselves and keep the public at arm's length and do not... And tend to shoot their whistleblowers. This is a pattern that's been going on for decades around the world. This is nothing new.
Well, listeners, there you know some more of the details now in case you hadn't read them in the papers or on their websites yourselves.
Later, about
the vulnerabilities ignored or covered up in Japan and the warnings that had come. Later, Bob Henley from WNYC News is going to talk with Leonard Lopate about Indian Point in particular and what some of the regulatory and bureaucratic lessons to be learned are. But Robert Alvarez, you want a last word?
Yes. The one thing I also want to point out is that the tragic accident, which is still, you know, they're not out of the woods there, to put it mildly, really has turned the focus on the hazards of stored spent fuel in the United States. The individual reactors at Fukushima, the Fukushima Daiichi unit, those four reactors, those pools, two of those pools are still considered very unstable, and if the water were to drain, they could release catastrophic amounts of long-lived radioactivity. The difference between their pools and the pools at U.S. nuclear power plants is that our pools hold roughly five times more spent fuel and anywhere from 5 to 10 times more long-lived radioactivity than in reactor cores. We have 34 reactors like the Fukushima reactors that have pools that are 70, 80 feet above ground. They have tin roofs on them. They are packed to the gills. And our colleagues have been warning the Nuclear Regulatory Commission about this problem, including the National Academy of Science, for nearly a decade now.
Robert Alvarez, senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me on.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, and finally today, as the 3-star restaurant El Bulli prepares to close, its rock star chef, Farhan Adria, talks about the colorful science of molecular gastronomy, or deconstructivist cooking. Stay tuned.